I'm going to call the meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 3, roll call.
John Steinbrink?
Here.
Chris Keckler?
Here.
Mike Polakoff?
Here.
Dave Clemish?
Here.
Mike Serpy?
Here.
Quorum being present. Item 4, citizens' comments.
No sign-ups tonight.
Anyone wishing to speak under citizens' comments? Hearing none, I'll close citizens' comments. We'll move on to item 5, administrator's report.
President of the Village Board, there's just one item that I wanted to bring to your attention. You should have received in your packet a letter from the League. They recently submitted a request to municipalities throughout the state to assist them in a $75,000 marketing campaign to support legislation to close the dark store and Walgreens loophole. The League has asked municipalities for a minimum contribution of $1,200. While it's within my authority to spend these funds, I did wish to bring it to the board's attention and seek their direction. To give some context to the discussion, the current shift in the tax burden from commercial to residential within the Village of Pleasant Prairie is about $27,000in taxes generated. If commercial real estate were to be more aggressive, the impact could be much larger and as great as 15%, a 15% tax increase to residential property owners. I would like to suggest setting our contribution based on a percentage to our exposure. If we were to support the League with 10% of our current exposure, we would contribute about $2,700. This would be double the League's request, and I believe it would be both appropriate contribution and a good faith gesture. And I guess at this time I just wanted to ask for your thoughts and direction and give you an opportunity to give me any input.
Thank you, Nathan. I did read with great interest in the paper that the governor feels this is an important issue and that he wishes action would be taken on it. And he says this all happened before his time of becoming governor. I think I kind of disagree with that timeline a little bit. And also, he has the power, if it's an important issue, which it is an important issue, and right now communities are expending more dollars to bring this to the attention of the public and explain it to them. He has the power to call a special session to bring this forward. Even though leadership did not want to bring it forward, he could have done it, but he didn't. So apparently that's how much he really cares about this issue. So, and if he really cares about it, he can still call a special session now and get this brought forward and get a resolution to it for us. Trustee Serpy?
You know, we've been fighting this issue for quite a while, and our assessor, Rocco Vita, has been very well informed, keeping the board informed as to what's going on. This is a very important issue, not just to the board, but mostly to the homeowners and small businesses of Pleasant Prairie, because they're the ones that are going to be totally affected. And I think Nathan is on the right path. I think it's right that we allow him to, I think the amount of money that he wishes to send up is appropriate. I totally support it. The Kenosha News has been on board with this thing, trying to bring it to the attention of the public, and our newsletter doing the same thing. This is, if they don't address it, this auditorium is going to be full of people when their tax bill comes out complaining about the increase in their property taxes, and the reality is it's out of our hands, but they're not going to understand that. I think this has to be brought forward, and I appreciate Nathan's efforts on this.
You know, in the recent couple of weeks, new home values have been distributed, and a few people and taxpayers that I've spoken with, though they see the increase in their home values, they also realize that's an comes at a cost of increased services, and not anybody that I've really spoken to has complained about that because they know it's an exchange. And as our board president just pointed out, we have a governor that can make a statement that it's important, but this is a prime example of where there's things to be said and action to be taken. And I think this is a very prudent and justifiable action on our part to help support this initiative on top of all the other actions this board has taken, whether it's holding listening sessions, working to communicate this through different media outlets and our own internal communications and to our own taxpayers. And so I think when people see that there is value in their taxes potentially going up with the improved services for the village, that's one thing. But if it's on the backs of corporations trying to manipulate a system that is evident to everybody, completely unfair, this is something I truly support.
The majority of the state House supports the dark store legislation. A majority of the state Senate supports the dark store legislation. According to the article in the paper, the governor supports the dark store legislation. And here we are having to spend $2,700 to help pass the legislation, which is money that's taxpayers' money. I'm looking at tonight's agenda. We have more business coming. We have a power plant that needs to be addressed. So as a village municipality, we continue working on managing our finances, managing the budget, being a place that attracts people to live, work, and play in businesses. And we still have to spend $2,700 for something that a majority of the House, Senate, and the state administration supports. So it's very frustrating that the political games are being played out at the expense of the homeowners of Pleasant Prairie and all across Wisconsin. So I would hope it would be nice if we didn't have to do this, but if we have to do it, then we need to spend the money and get this passed so that we can keep focusing on managing our finances so Pleasant Prairie is a great place to be.
I agree with Nathan's recommendation, and for a number of reasons. One is that, I mean, we're opposing some interests that can engage the services of well-heeled attorneys to go out and outspend almost any municipality, any board of review, and it's an insidious type of tax shift where people don't see it happening. You know, it's sooner or later. We've already had, I don't know how much tax burden be that shift away from Target. You know, we had some shift away with Samina. These things have, you know, slowly but surely taken money away from the municipality. And it is an irony the fact that the majority of the legislature said this law should be changed. And it's just wonderful that Governor Walker has decided that to jump in and say he's been for this all along. And he could call a special session, but I think this is the state on one hand is perfectly willing to encourage municipalities to incur debt, to produce economic development, to find a way to service that economic development with existing property tax structure because nobody can raise their levy, and go through that effort and work and put that pressure on municipal services. But then on the other hand, they'll sit there and say, well, you know, they've just, you know, they now they have a committee that's going to work on dark stores. This problem is open and shut. It's as simple as can be. Either businesses, especially big box businesses, they get taxed and they get assessed just like everybody else, just like everybody that lives in this room as a resident got their annual or their biannual adjustment, and it's based on market value. They should be in the same shoes. And the same is true for the Walgreens bunch. And you know, the state can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. The difficult thing is here is that, you know, the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and Pleasant Prairie, we're looking to spend $75,000. And I can guarantee you that those caucuses are getting more than $75,000 for this. That's who we're competing with. And I think we'd have a better chance, and I don't recommend we do this, but I think they're waiting for municipalities to start paying them money directly so that that money can go to the caucus so they can show it to somebody else and say, well, we're getting a lot, you know, there's some influence here. And I, you know, it's the worst thing to see government be having to run this way, but that's what's going on. And it's, you know, when you have everybody, the majority of people inclined to agree with something, but for some reason it can't happen, You know, you have to look at the moneyed interest on it. And that's what's going on. And I'm sure we could find another way to spend $2,700, but as long as the state's not going to act in a fiscally responsible manner and deal with taxes in an equitable manner, this is where we end up going. So, and as long as that's not going to the legislature, I'd say let's spend the $2,700 and try and convince other people, or because it's a little bit difficult subject, you know, what's going on and what needs to happen.
One other point to keep in mind, it's easy to say you're for it as a legislator. We had a hard time convincing our legislators to be for it. And I guess it's easy to be for it if you don't have to take a vote on it.
Right.
But the true test is when you have to take a vote on it. Either you're with the taxpayers or you're with corporate welfare. So, and as long as they can put that off, it's easy to be for it. So, Nathan, I also concur with your recommendation.
So, President, I'll move forward with this, but just to everybody be aware that, you know, should there be additional funds necessary, I may bring this issue, and at that point I'd bring it up probably for a direct motion. Just one point of clarification, too, that's just kind of sad, is that our state legislature has worked very hard to try to provide tax relief to the owners, property owners here within the state. And I had a resident approach me and you know, tell me about how their assessment went up or their values went up. And I tried to explain that we don't see any increase in levy in that resolve. Like, there's nothing that we gain. And what's worse is that when incentives are being given to commercial and to industrial through personal property tax and these dark store loopholes, all that does is it pushes more of the burden onto the residential property owners, and they see their taxes go up, and they think that somehow the municipalities are benefiting, and we are not benefiting at all. And meanwhile, when you can make the claim that, you know, we've created tax levies and we, you know, created tax relief, there's benefit and gain politically, but in the trenches, we're kind of stuck. And so I appreciate the comments that were made here today and the opportunity to work with the League on this legislation. So I don't have any other items to report, but I did feel this was an important issue to bring up to the board.
Thank you, Nathan. I guess the main thing to keep in mind is the fact that you got lobbyist dollars going in to persuade from one side, and you got taxpayer dollars from our end and the League's end. So it's a no-win for the taxpayers at this point. So, all right, Nathan, that was your report. Move on to item 6, new business. First item being item A, to receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider development agreement of the proposed development located north of State Highway 165 along 120th Avenue, known as the Gateway Lakeview Corporate Park.
Mr. President, members of the board, the petitioner is proposing to develop the vacant property generally located at the northeast corner of Highway 165 and 120th Avenue, known as the East Frontage Road, and this is generally for commercial development. That could include restaurants, gas station and car washes, multi-tenant commercial buildings, hotels, and other commercial development. The project is intended to be known as the Gateway at Lakeview Corporate Park. As part of the project development, a development agreement is being prepared and has been prepared and is being presented to the Village Board this evening. Again, the development agreement sets forth specific site improvements and identifies the selling of lots for future lot owners to construct on the commercial lots that are being created by the developer. The developer has requested that the village amend its tax increment finance district, TID 5, or the district, including the property to pay for and to reimburse the developer for certain project costs as defined by the TIF law. That are being incurred by the developer in connection with the development of the property. On June 18th, 2018, the Village Board had adopted Resolution 18-20, which approved the project plan amendment number 1 to the TID project plan and this was to amend the project plan district boundaries to include this property. The TID project plan provides that the development project be accompanied with this development agreement that we've been working on. The development agreement, again, is intended to serve as an agreement for the construction of public and private improvements and sets forth the obligations by the developer as well as the village. Some of the specific projects that would be included as part of the development include general construction, sanitary sewer construction, water main construction, storm sewer construction, electrical improvements, including streetlights, site grading improvements, State Trunk Highway 165 improvements, public street and boulevard plantings, and to do some concrete and asphalt and turn lane work in the east frontage road at 165. As part of the review and is included in the development agreement is the master conceptual plan that was presented to the Village Plan Commission and the board previously and had been approved back in December. At that time, we'd identified that there potentially could be four or more potential uses on this development property site at that northeast corner. Lot that's identified as lot number five, there'll be some minimal grading work that is completed on that particular site, but the intent is to get all the roadway work completed in the east frontage road, the streetlight, street trees, and then all of the other infrastructure work that's going to be needed for the development of the area. The certified survey map was before the Plan Commission and Board as well. At this time, three lots and one outlot has been identified. Certainly, lot three could be further subdivided, and there could be multiple uses on the lots that are to be created. As reflected back at the previous Plan Commission meeting, this is just a general development map that just shows some of that infrastructure that is being proposed as a result of this development. The village believes that unless the village provides some type of incentives to the developer as set forth in the agreement, that the developer would not undertake these projects as part of the development of this land. The village has determined that the development of the property pursuant to our agreement and the fulfillment generally of this development agreement by the parties is in the best interest of the village and its residents, will create jobs benefiting the residents of the village and the surrounding area, will increase the value of the taxable property within the district, will enhance the value of other properties in the village, and will promote the orderly development of the property in accordance with the village's comprehensive plan for growth and development and are in accord with our public purposes for this development. One of the other things I did want to mention is that as part of this project, the village is looking to create a new lift station that will service lands between Highway C down to the 122nd Street and then west of I-94. And so we are looking to construct a new lift station. The developer, as part of this development agreement, will be dedicating the land for that lift station. And there'll be no direct assessment, obviously, to that developer because of that land donation. So with that, there were a couple of points. I'm not sure if, Nathan, you want to bring. There's like two or three points that we discussed with the developers late as this afternoon that have been incorporated into this agreement.
Thanks, Jean. The only items that I would add is just for the awareness of the board, we apologize for the lateness of this agreement arriving to you. We finalized it this afternoon. The intent being that there is a pre-con scheduled for tomorrow, and that will contingent on this moving forward was somewhat of the impetus for getting this before you sooner rather than later. During the Plan Commission, I had wrongly said that was a pre-con for Quick Trip. It's actually for the Gateway project in its entirety. Basically, the incentive is a $2.8 million municipal revenue obligation bond. That obligation bond is going to be paid through the TID 5 with the increment that's being generated from these Gateway parcels as well as two parcels to the north owned by CDA and Wiz Park. Also, just for the board's awareness, typically we would want to have declarations of covenants, conditions, and restrictions for this development presented at the same time, given time frames. We're giving a 45-day window. As discussed at the Plan Commission meeting, there's still plenty of leverage to make sure that those conditions, those declarations are complete before we actually give building permits. And so we feel comfortable, staff feels comfortable moving forward. And then also just the last item, we did address specifically the dark store loophole to prevent that type of argument being used during the life of the TID. And so I think that the staff worked hard. Our attorneys worked well in trying to come to agreement, and we feel comfortable with this agreement as presented.
Mr. President, the Plan Commission made a positive recommendation on this. I'd move that we do as well. The staff did work really hard under, you know, not the best circumstances to get this thing put together, but they got it done. So I'd move that we approve the development agreement as presented by staff.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Brings us to item B, to receive the Planning Commission recommendation, consider approval of a certified survey map for We Energies. It's a subdivided property located on the west side of 120th Avenue, north of 122nd Street, for the construction of a new electric distribution substation.
Mr. President, members of the board, We Energies is proposing to construct a new electric distribution substation that will take high-voltage electricity from 128 kV transmission lines and decrease or step down the voltage to 24.9 kV on the property. And this is generally located on the west side of 120th Avenue or the East Frontage Road, about a quarter mile north of 122nd Street. The new substation would be referred to as State Line Substation, and it will be used to deliver electricity to area homes and businesses. Lot 1 is proposed to be created by Certified Survey Map and will be acquired by We Energies from the Riverview Group, LLC, for the proposed substation. The Lot 1 will be 6.9817 acres with frontage along 120th Avenue. A portion of the lot has wetlands at the very north-northwest corner, and that area will remain undisturbed. These wetlands were field verified and will be placed into the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District. The remainder of the lot is Zone M5, Production Manufacturing District. On June 25th, the Plan Commission conditionally approved a conditional use permit, including site and operational plans for the construction of the State Line substation. Construction of the substation is expected to begin in August of 2019 and to be completed by May of 2020. Also on the screen is an illustration of how the substation will appear on the lot. There'll be one direct access to 120th Avenue, and that will align with a future driveway for the Riverview or the State Line 94 development on the east side. The staff will continue to work with We Energies to make sure that we've got an acceptable landscaping plan. So we've asked for a few more things with respect to the landscaping plan, but everything else is in order.
What's the security and the screening going to look like?
So at this point, the security is they've got chain link fencing, and then they've got barbed wire around the top of the chain link fencing for the site. The site is not completely screened, similar to the substation on Bain Station Road and the one that's in the We Energies property north of 95th Street. So we've asked them to do some additional screening along 120th Avenue with respect to groups of trees and different types of trees and more evergreen trees, and do them in groups of three, and to try to, instead of just doing a soldier course of them, to try to do it in such a way that it provides a little bit better screening for the site. To the west of this property, there are a lot of trees. It's part of a corridor, primary environmental corridor, secondary corridor. So there's a lot of trees to the south. To the very north, there'll be some stormwater basin to the very north. And then to the south is really the transmission line corridor. So there's going to be, they need to be able to have clear access to the south, but we've got a large wooded area to the west, and I'm asking them to take a look at a couple of different things for screening to the east.
And do we have them install a camera, like a DCIM?
The DSIS is not required because they are currently zoned in an M5 production manufacturing district, so it's not required. I don't know whether or not they intend to put any type of camera system on the site. I don't know that.
Do you know if WE Energy's done that at other sites that are kind of off the beaten path?
I don't know. But what I can tell you is 120th Avenue, in this case, will be the opposite side where State Line 94 is looking to develop all of their industry. So it's not really going to be, it's going to be visible, right. And it's going to be accessible. Right. Right now it's not as busy over there. I don't know if there's anybody here from WE Energies to answer any more questions. There he is.
Sure. Come up. Give us your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is James Kilmer, representing WE Energies, 221 West Everett Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. To answer your questions, the station is surrounded by not a chain link, but a extruded high-security fence. So it's like a really, really small chain link, so it's not climbable. And we do have electronic card access on the gates and on the building doors. And we haven't made the final determination, but we do have the capability to have motion-activated cameras.
And then barbed wire across the top, like Gene yes. said. There's always a lot riding on every station, every substation.
Yes.
A step down, so.
And as far as the screening, we're willing to do whatever is required. We do usually recommend that you don't totally screen it, because usually your police or fire department wants to be able to see if anyone's in the station that shouldn't be, or if there's any unauthorized access.
Okay.
So we'll balance between leaving a little visibility and screening it.
Gene?
I was up in Milwaukee over the weekend, and I noticed that there was, I think it was on South 27th Street, but I would have to remember, but I might have been a little bit further north, but they had like a screening, and it you could still see through it, and it allowed wind to go through it, but there was screening along the fencing. Is that possible for you to do that?
Separate from the fence?
It was integral with the fence.
Okay. The newer fence, generally not. Like I said, the pictures I showed you, it is.
I took a picture.
The holes in the fence are only like a half an inch or so, the diamonds.
So if it's possible, I'd like
it's
to maybe entertain
something
that.
We can look at if. What we've proposed is very, very standard, and it's actually the same fence we're putting in every substation that has older chain link fence. It's a pretty industry standard stuff.
So you'll be separate from this. You're in the process of upgrading fences at other stations?
Yes, all over
Good.
Our service territory. Good. Had a lot of problems with copper theft and other things.
I move approval of certified survey map. Thank you.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, thank you. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. That brings us to item C, and that is to consider the Plan Commission approval of Resolution 18-23. It is to initiate discontinuance of 110th Street east of 116th Avenue.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is a request for the approval of Resolution 18-23, and this is to initiate the discontinuance of 110th Street east of 116th Avenue. The Village Board may initiate the continuation in whole or in part of any road, slip, alley, or lane by the introduction of a resolution declaring that the public interest requires it. The Village of Pleasant Prairie has received a request from the adjacent property owners to approve the discontinuance of a portion of 110th Street east of 116th Avenue. This would be south of parcels 19 and 20 of CSM 1699. Within the Lakeview Corporate Park West. The portion of right-of-way was originally dedicated by CSM 1699. However, the roadway improvements, as you can see, were never constructed. A plat of survey and a legal description of the public street encompassing the discontinuance has been prepared and has been provided as Exhibit A as part of the resolution. The Plan Commission would be required to review the legal description and the plat of survey, and they'd be required to forward a recommendation regarding the discontinuance to the Village Board. A public hearing to consider this discontinuance shall be set before the Village Board not less than 40 days after the passage of this resolution. So as part of this resolution, the public hearing could be scheduled before the Village Board of Trustees on August 20th, 2018 for a public hearing. Again, this is a request that is being made by Interstate Partners, and this comes as a result of a proposed development that they are looking to do. It's a multifamily development that is it's north of 110th Street and then east of 116th Avenue. The property to the south is State Line 94 property. Their conceptual and their master plan for their industrial development does not show an access or a need for 110th Street. And the multifamily development, again, east of Premium Outlets, east of 116th Avenue, does not show a need or an access to 110th Street either. There is one property, as you can see, that lies to the east, and there is actually a private gravel driveway that extends from 116th Avenue to his property that is not located within the 110th Street right-of-way. And they have sought out requests or at least no objection from not only Interstate Partners, but Wispark LLC, David Moore from the Conservation Education LLC Group, and Mark Good from the Riverview Group LLC. So they are requesting that the board take the first step by adopting this resolution in order to start the review process, send out the appropriate notices, and to set the public hearing date not less than 45 days thereafter.
I move approval of Resolution 1823 and set it for public hearing.
Second.
Motion and second. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item 7, Village Board comments. I think we covered the one big looming question here tonight, and that's the dark store issue, and it's probably one of the biggest issues to come before the villages and probably the state for all the communities in there that are going to be affected by this. And once the communities are affected, then it's the taxpayers are affected, and then it's the services the taxpayers receive are affected. And I'd sure like to see our legislators get going on something. So if leadership doesn't want to bring forward, then it's time for them to get new leadership. Further Village Board comments? Hearing none, move on to item 8, and that is to enter into an executive session pursuant to section 19.85(1)(e), and this is for deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, investing of public funds, or conducting of other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session.
So move.
Second.
Motion is second. We need a roll call vote, correct? Yes.
John Steinbrink?
Aye.
Chris Keckler?
Aye.
Mike Polakoff?
Aye.
Dave Clemish?
Aye.
Mike Serpy?
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 9 is the return to open session, and this is for the purpose of adjournment only. No other business will be conducted.